Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Could I say, in case there are also others here, maybe your first time here this morning, if you have young ones, you need to take them out. The creche is opened, and you can feel free to avail of it this morning. We're just going to read the first three verses of 1 Samuel 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Let us pray again. Father, thank you for the sense of your presence, for your Holy Spirit, for him being in the midst of your people this morning. Thank you for this, for myself and others, I'm sure. Father, for answered prayer, that we need you. And that you would come. Take your word and speak to our hearts. Bless those who can't be with us this morning. Bless the children and the babies in the nursery, and the creche there, Lord, and in the children's church, and all the leaders and those who look after them and help them. Encourage them. But for us here, Lord, and those who are watching, we pray for your hand to be on them, that you would work in our lives and in our hearts, that Christ would be glorified in all that we do. For Jesus' name's sake, I pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to speak off, and I think I'll do this. Yeah, time is flown on, but I think we'll do this as two parts in the Lord's will next week as well. But I want to speak on the subject Coram Deo. Coram Deo. Would you say Coram Deo? Okay. That's a Latin word, a Latin term. And Coram Deo, I'll tell you more of what it means in a second. Martin Luther, in the early 16th century, Martin Luther was asked, when he gathered his 95 theses, to nail them on the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. He was asked, Mr. Luther, in short, what is it you want from the Reformation? What is it that you want in short? And Martin Luther, thinking about it, just came up with these words. Coram Deo. Coram Deo means to live one's entire life in the presence of God. To live one's entire life in the presence of God. Under the authority of God, to the glory of God. It is to understand that whatever we are doing and wherever we are doing it, we are acting under the gaze of God, as God is omnipresent. Coram Deo. And hence then, throughout the Reformation, that became, if you want, a slogan word, right through until us today, where as believers in the Scriptures, Bible-believing Christians, we believe in living our life before God, that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how we're doing it or who we are doing it with, we have a conscience that we are living before a God who sees and knows all and is in every place where you are. Quorum Deo. In our opening scriptures here of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, look at what it says in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Notice, he ministered unto the Lord. Look at chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, if you will, and in verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, that is Samuel's father, and the child, that is Samuel, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Samuel was in training. Take note of this. He was in training, girded with a linen ephod, but a linen ephod was a priestly garment. And Samuel was not off the Levitical priesthood or family. Samuel was girded with a linen ephod. And if you want to read more about the Levitical priesthood garments, you can read Exodus 39 and you'll find more there. Samuel was not to be a priest. A priest is someone who brings the people to God. Samuel was to be a prophet. And a prophet was someone who brings God to the people. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Kinsman, our Savior, he is our great High Priest, and he brings us to the Father, intercedes for us. But he's the one, the Prophet, the Son, who brought the Word, brought God to the people, to you and I. Notice here, Samuel was to be a prophet. He ministered in the outer courts, not in the holy place. Our elder Andrew mentioned about the high priest ministering in the Holy of Holies this morning as we gathered around the table. Samuel wasn't there. Samuel would have ministered in the outer courts of the tabernacle here. Remember, the temple isn't built at this point. And while the ungodly family of Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, seemed to take all the glory, and these men were really ungodly. These men, especially the two sons, but Eli turned a blind eye onto the ungodliness of his sons. But Samuel ministered still in the tabernacle. Samuel was a child, and although the ephod worn by him was of an inferior one to the high priest's, it set Samuel apart as a devoted child of God. He was different. How every blood-washed child of God should be. Different. Set apart. Visible. Serving God. Samuel could not go any further in office because he wasn't Levitical. But God called him into his royal tabernacle, his heavenly court, and ordained him as a prophet. If you notice, chapter 2, verse 11, and the child did minister unto the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 18, Samuel ministered, notice the word, before the Lord. And of course, in our reading, chapter 3 and verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. See the word here for ministered? It's the word sharaf, and it's a primitive root word, and it means to do the menial tasks. It means to contribute in some way. It means to wait upon as like a servant would wait upon their master. But it gives the idea of doing the menial task, being like a servant, contributing in whatever way you're asked. It gives the idea of doing it as worship. As worship. So everything that Samuel was doing, according to the Levites, he may have worn a little ephod. It just set him apart than the rest. But here's the thing. People thought it was menial tasks he'd done. The car park's a menial task. Some might think it's an essential task. Cleaning on a Saturday morning is a menial task. It's an essential task, or we'd all be sitting in dirt. Every single person that does anything at all in around this tabernacle, because we do it as unto the Lord, it's not a menial task whatsoever. Doesn't matter if it's shaking a hand or lifting a chair. If you do it as unto the Lord, it's doing it as worship for Him. Worship isn't just about singing, you know. Worship is about serving. Worship is about serving. Worship is about living your life devoted to service, to the glory of God. So Coram Deo should be in all of our lives, where no matter who we are or where we are, even if we deem the task to be, I think this is the one that's menial, we should be doing it as worship as unto the Lord. What about cleaning toilets? Do it as worship unto the Lord. See, my wee mommy, and I loved her dearly, still do, miss her terribly. See, my wee mommy, you know what she'd done for a living? To feed her children while my daddy worked as a mechanic with the UDR. Do you know what my wee mommy used to work at? She used to clean houses for people. She used to light their fires. She used to bring me, if I was off school, sometimes to roll up the newspaper. Remember you made the wee, you folded them over? I'm an expert still at them. Used to help her. Remember working in a firm that we were in, and she just mopped all these big stairs the whole way down. Such a menial task, and she mopped them the whole way down. And sure, didn't this supervisor just come around and he went, they got the whole way up it. She just mopped it again. Samuel, you're doing a menial task, and you think that you are set apart for God. I can tell you something, brothers and sisters, as the word is from this position here, you know where the ministry starts? With the hand down the toilet. And there's nothing wrong with that because it needs cleaned. I'm not saying that about our church. I'm just giving you the idea because I want anyone ever thinking. You may think you're overlooked even. Well, we'll talk about it in a moment. Child Samuel was doing menial tasks, waiting as a servant, just doing little contributions to the work of God, but he done what he could. He is seemingly overlooked and possibly taken for granted. Listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous. Man might be. For God is not unrighteous. Man might be in this sense. Even the men who were able to come last night, I know everyone couldn't and maybe didn't get the message, and they're away or they're whatever, for, because I didn't make it last night. I just didn't get the message. Leaving their family and friends or their comforts of a Saturday evening to come, even just to check the tent to make sure it was tied down and whatever side it was, I still don't know which one it was blew open. That's not overlooked. That's not taken for granted. Your heart is for, not only for here, it's for the service of Christ. And for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, in case you think, well, that's ministering to the saints. Well, if the saints didn't have somewhere to sit in, we'd be in trouble this morning. And throughout the previous week there were the storms. If the saints didn't have the church cleaned on a Saturday, they would be sitting in dust and dirt this morning. If the saints didn't have the water faithfully carried in, we'd all be sitting with a dry throat. If the saints didn't have the car park, well, we'd be all over the place, wouldn't we? Notice here, Samuel seemed to do these menial tasks, and it might be, well, he labored in the tabernacle, and don't forget, God's people are a tabernacle and a temple of the Holy Spirit, and to minister to them in a spiritual fashion, in a practical way as well, even whether they're sick and needing prayer, or visited and needing someone needing a hand or a help. Everything that we do should be for the glory of God, knowing that coram Deo, that God is everywhere in every task that we do or don't do. That God does not overlook nor forget. And everything that we know, and you hear people, oh, God sees everything, and that's true. But sometimes even Christians don't believe it. See, Martin Luther was thinking, well, we don't need to go to a priest for forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther reads the scriptures and he says, well, we don't go to a church or a chapel and we're there for that mass, and then we receive what they believe is the body and blood of Christ, and we are away all week and we don't have any Christ with us. And by the way, it happens, excuse the term, but there's a lot of Protestant popery too. We'll go to church, but there's no Christ with us the rest of the week. Martin Luther says, no, coram Deo. That's what the Reformation should be about. Coram Deo should be taken from the scriptures, that our God is everywhere at once, and we live before him our entire life, our entire works, our entire ways, or to live before God under his authority as we live according to his word. So look at this, if you will. Luke chapter 3, if you'll turn, Mark, 1 Samuel. Luke chapter 3. Verse 1, please. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being made governor of Judea, and Herod being made tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John is in the wilderness. And you could say that he's forgot about. He's out of the road, he's out of the way. But the word of God passes over seven names that are mentioned there. Passes over Roman governors. Passes over Herod the Edomite Jew and his family. And it passes over the very rulership of the Jews, Annas and Caiaphas. And it finds a man in the wilderness. It finds the one who is quorum Deo, living his life before God, because he knows that he must live in the authority of, under the authority of God, and under the view and the gaze of God, even in the wilderness. And these other men are living whatever way they like, doing whatever they want. And it's seemingly that there's no quorum Deo to them, that God is not in the palace of the Roman governor, or he's not with Herod and his palace and his brothers, and he's certainly not with Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. So God mustn't be around that area. He just must be upon the people, and those people will do what we tell them to do. They've no consciousness of how they live and what they're placing on the people. Sounds like the British government today. Doesn't it? There's no consciousness of what they're putting on the people. But God is everywhere. God sees everything that they say, that they think, that they speak, and that they do. And they live as if there is no God. Heard this morning that Mr. Stormer is having meetings that very few know about, secretly with Mr. Bill Gates. I wonder why. But God knows. Do you hear me, brother? Sister? God knows. Quorum Deo. Would you say quorum Deo? Doesn't matter how low you say it, he still knows. It's like one of those prayers you're afraid to pray. You know, whenever you don't want to pray for your enemies and you say, Lord, for goodness sake, Lord, this is terrible. I forgive them. And the Lord says, do you really? And you don't really, sure you don't. You think God doesn't know any different. Would you say quorum Deo? Quorum Deo. Quorum Deo is to live one's entire life. Notice that. One's entire life. That means that even John in the desert lived quorum Deo, his entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. And he understood that whatever he was doing, wherever he was doing it, he was acting in the gaze of God, before the very face of God. For God is omnipresent. He's also omniscient, all-knowing. And the word of God went right over them all and lands on one man with a leather girdle and a camel hair coat. Him. That God doesn't think of people like that. We're the establishment. God shows up the establishment to raise up people like that. Samuel is laboring away the menial task. And God was about to show up the establishment of Eli and his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't. Don't just go and try and get your pound of flesh.
Don't go and try and get your pound of flesh. God knows. God knows. Live before Him. Keep doing the task that seems menial and live before the Lord. He found John in the wilderness as he found Samuel in a tabernacle doing menial tasks. Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation 1, just let your eye run down for a couple of verses. Verse 9, please. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, notice, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John's not in Patmos for doing wrong here. As toward, he's a criminal here. He's there for his love for Christ and for the word of God. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John here on a prison island is before God, Coram Deo. And I'll speak about him wherever I am, no matter who is against me, no matter what they say. As many Christians are afraid to speak up and speak out, and they, in company, in the workplace, among others, even family, tend to shut our mouths for the peace of it, because surely that would be Christian. It's not, by the way. Speaking forth the word of God. It's lifting up the name of Christ. I'm not talking about condemnation of people. I'm talking about speaking of the wonders of your Savior. And what does the word of God say about this day? What does the word of God say about people without Christ, who are those who go into a lost eternity without Christ? What does God's word say? They need to hear, even if it's a matter of them wanting you out of their company. I'd rather do what's right in the presence of God and offend someone than not to speak of Christ and offend God in the presence of others. John's found in the island. John the Baptist is in the desert. Samuel is in a little tabernacle doing menial tasks. And even Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1, he's by the river Kivar. And there he is away in Babylon when the house of Judah went into captivity with them. And God found him there while others were mingling with the Babylonian world. That Babylonian world is, if you want, worldwide now. It's in every edifice and orifice of society. And those who are, if you want, the Ezekiels, even if we're in the out of the mainstream and by the river Kivar, so to speak, yet God knows where we are to speak out on the behalf of Christ. Listen to this. Going to have to close soon. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, please. Talking about the menial task of Samuel. This is just an introduction. We'll put it for God willing next Sunday morning. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So everything we do, coram Deo, we live our entire lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. We understand that whatever we are doing and wherever we are doing it, we are acting under the gaze of God as God is omnipresent. Even when you close your doors at home, brother, sister, God is present. I know we all love when God's word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I know we love that. Because when in our dark times, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In our sick moments and times, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In our mournful times, oh, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we love that. And that's true. But what about on the other side of it? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with thee in all your ways. I see all your doings. Listen. He even knows our very thoughts. So Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Samuel ministered, it says, before the Lord. And then again, Samuel ministered unto the Lord. That's chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's go to it. First Samuel chapter 2, please, verse 12. Notice what Eli's sons were like. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial and knew not the Lord. Now these are men in what we would call the National Church of Israel. See where this is going here? Do you see the declension of the church, as it were, the Israelite worship? Here coming after Eli who is sort of off the idea that, they're my boys and, I can do nothing with them, so I'll just let them work away. I remember one time there was a man and he was going to be an elder of a church. And his son was blatantly sinning in the church. Now, the man can't be responsible for the son in that sense. He can't make him. He's a grown man. But I said to him, I'll make sure I don't say his name here. I said to him, I'll say Brian. It wasn't Brian Lake, but we'll say Brian anyway. And I said, Brian, you can't stand and say that this is, stand as elder and say this is okay, what your son's doing here. I mean, it was grievous. He was with another man's wife in the church and they were there. And I sat down with him and I said, you can't say this, Brian. You can't stand as elder and your son, he says, but he's my son and I love him. I says, that doesn't change. Of course you love them. Your son won't, because he's your son, won't change. And you do love him. That doesn't change. But you are saying he's doing no harm. You can't say that. You have to come out and say, even though he's my son, he's wrong. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Eli done something the same. Phineas and Hophni, what can I do with them? They're my sons. They were sleeping with women all over the place outside of the tabernacle. Going with even non-Israelite women as far as we believe. Listen to what it says. They were sons of Belial. Of course he loves his son. Eli loves the both of his sons, Phineas and Hophni. Of course he loves them. But he should have said, you boys need to stand down. For they were going around the people, taking off the people and living that sort of lifestyle. Do you know what happened? The Lord smote the three of them. You let the children know they can come in, please. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Got to the place where these men were getting with three-pronged hooks and taking off the best parts of the meat, which was meant to be one, the fat for the Lord, taking it for themselves. The Lord's portion first. And then they were taking that which should have been for the tabernacle for themselves. And then 30, they took their own portion too. And the Lord was saying, "Yous are wicked men. Yous are sons of Belial." And he does away with the whole lot of them. So I'm going to close this for the children will be coming in. It says that in verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. I'll stop with this. See that word before? It's the word ponim. The other two, it says unto the Lord. He ministered unto. We should always minister in song and worship in our hearts and the reading and as we praise him, unto him. But Samuel ministered unto and unto, but here it says he ministered before the Lord. And the word ponim means that part which turns the face of God. The very presence of the face of God. And Samuel ministered unto him, but Samuel worked away menial tasks. Knowing quorum deo. Knowing it was quorum deo that he was to live his life entirely in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God, understanding that whatever he was doing, wherever he was doing it, and even who he was doing it with, he was acting under the gaze of God, for God was omnipresent. And that's what is missing in a lot of the church. More consciousness of God. Christians, some Christians are like dealing with the mafia. It really is. Conniving. Liars. Storytellers. Sinners. Quorum Deo. But Samuel ministered before the face of the Lord. God's face was with Samuel. Samuel was doing the menial tasks. He was brushing up, or he was, I don't know what the toilets were like then. He was maybe washing out the toilets. But he was always conscious. God was there. Son, I see it. He was always conscious. Quorum Deo. My face is here. My eyes are over you. I see it. And they may say you'll never make office of priest for you're not in the family line. But son, I'm raising you as a prophet. May God bless his word this morning to all of our hearts, and what we'll do in the Lord's will, we'll do part two next week. Tammy, would you come up, please?